This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we are going beneath the headlines today, hearing from people across the Commonwealth on what they want the new MBTA general manager, that's Philip Ng, to know about the T. And first up, Congressman Seth Moulton, Democrat who represents the state's 6th House District in Washington. Welcome, Congressman.
Good to be here, Tiziana.
It's great to have you, and we will get to the team momentarily. I do want to ask you one quick question. President Trump was indicted yesterday on documents fraud charges. You have already made statements about this rally at noon today by local citizens who support holding a former president who may have broken the law accountable. Massachusetts GOP Chair Amy Carnevale says the indictment seems, quote, politically motivated, end quote, but that it should not, quote, excuse any bad behavior that took place, end quote. What specifically are you hearing today from your constituents on this?
Well, look, I think there are plenty of constituents who are thrilled that justice is finally coming to Donald Trump. Of course, there are others who think it is politically motivated. I just think we should let the Justice Department do its job. We should let justice take its course as it would with any of us, because we live in a country where everyone is equal before the law. Or at least that's certainly the way it's supposed to be.
So I do want to note, this one not coming from the Justice Department, this one coming from the state
fair
of New
enough.
York. And that does seem to be a little bit of the sticky wicket here, Congressman.
Well, fair enough. But look, I mean, the point is we have a justice system. I mean, yes, the Justice Department is in D.C. This is actually an indictment coming from the D.A. in New York. But the American justice system is something that we expect to work the same for everybody, whether you're a former president or whether you're a famous person like Gwyneth Paltrow, or you're just somebody on the street. I mean, this is what being in a democracy is all about. And what these Republicans who are complaining about this, what they're fundamentally saying is we think there should be an exception for Donald Trump. And that's not the way this works.
Okay, this is a serious subject, but I do have to take a second to give you a nod for working Gwyneth Paltrow in that case into this conversation as well. That is outstanding. And I'm now going to move us to something else that we hope will work the same for everyone and hasn't been, and that is the MBTA. This is our segment we're calling Dear Philip Ng, where we're asking for advice for the new MBT general manager. Philip Ng, of course, the former Long Island Railroad president who is now going to be helming the MBTA. And we're going to add a second voice here alongside you, Congressman Jim Rooney, is the president of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce and former deputy general manager of the MBTA. Jim, welcome to you as well.
Good morning.
So, you know, the Herald had a headline earlier this week that says Healey administration finds someone crazy enough to take MBTA GM job. Jim Rooney, this is a big job. What's your first piece of advice for Philip Ng?
Well, I think the first thing that the new general manager has to do is restore faith and confidence among the employees, among the riders, among the business community, among political and government leaders, that he's the right guy for the job, and the T is on a track to improve service and reliability and safety and all of the things we all want and deserve. The confidence in the T is shattered within all stakeholders. And, you know, he's got to spend the first 6 months rebuilding that confidence.
So, Congressman Seth Moulton, I'll move back to you. You've seen, you know, a variety of leadership scenarios in your career where confidence and faith in the leader are pretty critical. What will you look for from Philip Ng in those first 6 months, Jim Rooney just talked about, where you're like, that's what I got to see to feel confident that this leader has a handle on the MBTA?
Well, first of all, let me just say it's great to be on with you, Jim, and you've brought a lot of confidence to the Boston Chamber with your leadership. And look, I think Jim hit the nail on the head here. I mean, I have no confidence in the T right now, and that's sad because I used to be a very frequent T rider, and now when I think about taking the MBTA into the city, I'm too worried that the train's just going to be too late or not even show up at all to get to my appointment. So what we have to see from Mr. Ng to get us there is a willingness to make some pretty dramatic changes. This is not a time to be trimming around the edges. He's got to make some dramatic changes. I want to see a lot of people hired, but I also want to see some people fired, like this guy that just got fired. It was in the paper a few days ago, who was in charge of MBTA capital projects and wasn't even in Massachusetts. He was managing things from Hawaii. In fact, he didn't even own a home in the Commonwealth. So when you have an organization where the culture is fundamentally broken, people don't even want to come to work to the T because they feel the same way I do about riding the T, then you have to have a top to bottom culture change, and you have to show that you're willing to make some tough, big moves right away.
So Jay Nieder there, the person that you're talking about, Congressman, that was a story from the Boston Globe earlier this week, with a home in Delaware, spending some time in Hawaii. Turning back to you, Jim Rooney, you know, much has been made about the salary that Philip Eng is going to earn, between $450,000 and $500,000. That's not the piece I want to focus on. What I want to focus on is the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce encouraged a strong salary to attract somebody with a level of experience and skill set, because this is so important to the Boston economy. Can Philip Eng or anybody in this role make changes in the very short term that can have short-term impact on our economy, Jim Rooney?
Well, I think Congressman Moulton is right that he has to make the kind of changes one can make in the first 6 months, personnel changes, hiring that person that the governor has spoken about into the safety position, and you know, demonstrate through his communications with people like the congressman, who's a very important stakeholder, that he has a plan. I mean, he's got to communicate with people, the riders. Congressman Moulton mentioned the reliability of knowing that when you get on a train at one end of the line that you're going to get to work or get home to pick up the children from daycare, that you can rely on it. You need to be able to deliver that, but you need to communicate and treat people like adults if it's not going to happen, so that they can plan accordingly. And the T just hasn't done that. They shut down the Orange Line for a month last year with all sorts of promises that it was going to be better, and it's worse. Treat people like adults, communicate, tell people what the challenges are, and you will begin to engender that trust and confidence that at least, you know, he's done the assessment of what it's going to take. He has a plan. He's made some changes. And, yes, on the paving, we encourage the governor and the lieutenant governor to go out and get the best possible person for the job. We knew that the salary that now Mr. Eng is going to earn is consistent with what just got paid in Washington, D.C., what's getting paid in Toronto and other big cities across the country. And we didn't want them to shy away from getting the best person that they could get just because they didn't want to feel the criticism that might come from paying a public employee well. This guy's in charge of a couple of billion-dollar budget and 6,000 employees and moving between a half a million and a million people every day. And, you know, he needs to be paid accordingly.
We're asking Jim Rooney of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce and Congressman Seth Moulton the advice they'll give to the new general manager of the MBTA, Philip Eng. I want to bring Eng's own voice in here now, a couple of different clips from his press conference. First, him talking about the basic core issues he'd focus on.
Safety is a top priority. That is every day, and we cannot forget that, right? Infrastructure, state of good repair, maintenance.
So that echoing in our head when he also says that he would work with whatever budget he had.
I'm going to work with whatever resources are given to me, right? It's going to be my job to figure out how to deliver what we need to do. And again, balancing the need for priority work, balancing the need for future capital work. I'm making tough decisions when the budget is tight.
So then I'm thinking, Congressman Moulton, about a response that former Massachusetts Transportation Secretary Jim Aloisi had on GBH this week.
If he only has the resources that he has today, he will fail because they're not enough.
So a big agenda, not enough resources. How much money does the state need to make available for Philip Eng? And do you feel like the state can do it?
Absolutely, the state can do it. And we do need more money for the MBTA, but we've got to be smart about how we invest it. One thing I do have to say is it is part of Mr. Eng's responsibility to fight for this money. There is an unprecedented amount of federal resources available right now through the bipartisan infrastructure deal that we passed a little while ago. But a lot of it is through competitive grants. And if the MBTA does not compete successfully for these grants, then they're going to go to other cities around the country. And let's not forget, Massachusetts has the worst traffic in America. So he's got to fight for some of this funding. But I also recognize what he's saying, which is my job is not to complain. It's to get things done with the resources that I ultimately have. When we think about the future, though, it's not just about how much money you can get, but what kind of return are you going to get on these investments?
So, Jim Rooney, I find the congressman's point about fighting really interesting, especially given that the governor, of course, has just added Quentin Palfrey to her administration to make the state more competitive for federal funds. Philip Ng is coming from the outside. This is about fighting for money also that the state will allocate. What advice do you give him to be successful in getting the allocations? That's been a hard row to hoe in the Commonwealth over, what, 30, 40 years?
Well, it has been, but, you know, I go back to my original point, which is to build trust and confidence. And I criticize the Baker administration because when people would talk about, you know, the failures of the MBTA, his answer was, yeah, but we're spending $8 billion a year. You know, money is an input, and I want to see focus on results and outputs. I want to see reliability. I want to see safety. I want to see people have the ability to get to work and go home. So I want to see a focus on those things. And what I also want to see is Philip Ng develop an agenda and something that he can walk into people like Congressman Moulton's office and Governor Haley's office and say, this is what I'm seeing. These are the resources that I need. This is how I'm going to approach it. This is how we're going to get it done. Here's the kinds of things in terms of personnel and systemic changes that I've made already. And then people like Congressman Moulton and Governor Haley and the Speaker and the legislature, if he can build that confidence, fight for the money necessary, they'll be more willing to do it. But if it's just this cry for more money, the citizenry doesn't want that approach. The people who pay the bills don't want someone to just say, you know, well, what we have to do is spend more money on it. They want to see results, and he's got to build that confidence.
All right, we'll have to end it there. Jim Rooney is president of the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. Seth Moulton represents Massachusetts' 6th Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Thanks so much to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
We are continuing with Dear Philip Ng, our advice to the new general manager of the MBTA as he prepares to take over the nation's oldest transit system on April 10th. That's coming up soon. Earlier, we had Representative Seth Moulton and Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce President Jim Rooney as they laid out their visions for fixing the MBTA. Now, an advocate and you on what you want new general manager Philip Ng to know about the T, what works for riders, what doesn't, and what the pain points are. Mike Conley is a member of the state legislature, representing parts of Cambridge and Somerville in the House. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So first, reactions to what you heard from Seth Moulton, from Jim Rooney.
I certainly agree. You know, I believe that Philip Ng represents a new day for our transit system. And I would also add that he will need to advocate for the funding and resources that he needs. I appreciate the can-do perspective, but we also need an advocate, and I was very impressed with his press conference this week.
What impressed you?
You know, he articulated a desire for the MBTA to be world class, and he did it with a straight face, and I appreciate that. And you know, I also appreciated that he respected the workers. That, you know, before he even met the press, he went and met the workers first. And he emphasized the need to partner with them. And I think that will be important.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm really comfortable with you saying, you know what, that's just not a thing, right? But it's been on my mind a little bit, which is that he is coming from somewhere else. And we did say, look anywhere and everywhere for somebody with the right experience. But there is this issue of getting money from the legislature, of building those relationships, building trust. As a legislator, does it matter that he comes from somewhere else? And if it does, in a good way or a bad way, or is that just not a thing?
I don't think it's a thing. You know, we need talent. And at the same time, we should also recognize one individual won't be a savior. I have confidence that he can do the job we need him to do, but it's going to take hundreds and perhaps thousands of more employees at the T, and it's going to take real leadership from the legislature and the governor to deliver the resources that the MBTA needs to succeed.
So we had Mayor Michelle Wu on the show on Monday for Mondays with the Mayor. We talked to her about the MBTA, which we often do, and she told us that she finds herself increasingly unable to rely on the T.
I take the T, I don't know, maybe once a week, a couple times a month at least, and I have had to make real decisions about when I know I cannot be late somewhere. that factors in.
I remember that she also talked about how the orange line's actually been a little bit better, but she lamented the red line. You ride the red line. Have your behaviors had to change? How has it been for you?
You know, I live in Central Square, so getting from Central Square to Beacon Hill hasn't been that bad. Nevertheless, I think as a legislator, certainly people forgive us when we arrive late somewhere. For many of my constituents, it has been intolerable. And I can tell you the worst stories that I hear are people who tell me, because the MBTA doesn't function properly, I miss the opportunity to say goodnight to my kids at night after a long day at work. Or people who talk about how they have to work early in the morning and the system isn't even running, you know, when they have to go to work in the morning. So it is a real painful issue for our constituents, and it's on my mind every day. And I hope it's on everyone's mind on Beacon Hill.
I'm going to start bringing in some of the voices of our listeners who belong to our texting group. And if you want to join our texting group, it's easy. You send the word Boston to 617-766-0382. I'll give you that number one more time. It's 617-766-0382. So John in Upton said, my general experience riding the T from 1983 to 2008 is that it has regressed from reasonably efficient to unpredictable frequency and a very slow crawl. My Green Line ride from Brighton to MGH took an hour, and I walked it in an hour and 15 minutes. So this thing about I can walk it faster than I can ride it is really emerging as not only a joke, but a painful worry, I think, Mike Connolly. And as we're thinking about this advice to Philip Ng, first, he rode a Green Line train into the press conference. It took him like 70 minutes to come in. How often does he need to ride the line to make sure he's understanding the pain you're talking about? And how quickly can he actually fix those kinds of problems? What advice do you give him on that?
I think riding the line is important. I think it's a good sign that he did. You know, at the same time, there's a lot of work that needs to be done beyond just that individual experience. And, you know, it's not clear how quick it can happen, but, you know we have to make progress, and I think we have to demonstrate the progress. I mean, for example, you know, Governor Baker shut down the Orange Line last August. There was a lot of hype about how this was going to be this transformational moment, and I don't know that it's really played out for constituents that way. There's still slow zones up and down the line. So we also need transparency and communication, and that's probably the first step. But there's a long list of things we need. We need safety. We need investments in people. We need operating budget improvements. We need capital budget. We need a new MBTA board. So that's five huge things as well.
Will the legislature give it to him? I mean, you talked about capital budget, operating budget. You're in the legislature. Will the legislature give it to him? And what about the argument that Jim Rooney and Seth Moulton were making about competing for federal money as well?
Well, certainly, you know, I think we have to do more in the legislature. The MBTA is burdened by debt that was placed on its back around the time of the big dig. There are a lot of expenses that the MBTA has that the legislature can help with, and we have to do more. And, you know, there's a big conversation about taxes right now, and I'm certainly interested in tax relief for working people, but I am very critical of tax relief for the very wealthy. And so I think following on the Fair Share Amendment, we have to continue looking to the super wealthy and to large corporations to pay their fair share. There is billions upon billions of dollars of investment, and we have to hire the people just to be able to spend the money. So there's a lot to do.
So we got an iconic text from Joanne in Charlestown, and I'm going to read this to you, and we're going to kind of go out with this, with the last question. Something routine is no longer. This was my latest experience. Last Monday, I had to be in Quincy for a meeting at 10. The night before, I checked out the best commuter route, planned to leave by 8:45 to give me enough time. Once I arrived at the red line, there was a 30-minute delay posted. Now I'm late. Lucky I was at South Station and was able to hop on the Kingston commuter rail as an alternative. So that's what I do. I check every possible option. Harbor boat schedule, blue bikes, commuter rail. I feel like I am in an Amazing Race episode if I have to be somewhere. With that kind of ringing in our head, our theme here has been Dear Philip Ng. If you could sit him down right now in Studio 2 and say, listen to me, here is my advice to you, what would it be?
Advocate for resources. You know, he can't simply make do with what he's given. He's going to have to honestly say, here are the resources I need. And it's going to be a lot. We are in a disaster situation. It was a crisis when Charlie Baker took over. it had been an emergency over the past 8 years. And now that Maura Healey is walking in, she's walking into a disaster situation. So it's going to take a lot of resources.
And who's the most important first person to talk to for that?
I would say legislative leaders are very important, as well as, you know, the governor.
All right. Mike Conley is a state representative from Cambridge, red line rider. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate you helping us out.
My pleasure. Thanks.
There is more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. You're listening to Radio Boston. And it has been a week, so let's accept an invitation to laugh and laugh at ourselves. We're back in our studio with resident comedians Bethany Van Delft and Ken Reed to find some funny stuff in the stories that we've covered this week. Hey, welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having
us. I made
again.
You laugh.
You did. Yes. It's not a first, though.
But I'm a little proud of myself. I'm not going to lie.
Put one on the board.
Okay, so we're just going to start with the MBTA. And that almost feels like laying up a softball to the two of you because, I want to say, everything we're going to talk about is serious business, mm-hmm. right? But today what we're doing is inviting ourselves to laugh at the serious business. And it is not hard to laugh at the tea.
No.
Yeah. Jump right in.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that it's exciting to have Philip Ng, right? I did a little bit of research, a little Googling on him, and he used to work for the Long Island Railroad. He retired in 2022, so it feels like he knew he had to, like, rest up and hydrate for this job. So I think it's going to be great.
Although I'm wondering with the New York-Boston rivalry if he really wants to make a feature out of coming from Long Island.
So I feel like it's okay, though, because they actually asked him at the professors. He's not a Yankees fan, at least. He's
okay.
A Mets fan. And so it feels like he can still deal with us.
Yeah, he can safely ride the T among the public and not be injured.
Are you guys riding the T?
Right now? We're here, aren't we? So the answer is no.
Right now, we're not riding the T. You know that I learned to drive in the last year, like over the pandemic. So I have my first car. So it's like learning to ride your first bicycle. I drive it all over the place. I'm sorry, Earth, but I have not been on the T in a little while. But from what I hear, I should just keep driving for a little while.
So wait, we will come back to the T in a second, but I got to ask, what motivated you at this point to learn to drive?
The T.
Tiziana, you know it's going to be something silly. My husband fell down the stairs and I couldn't drive him to the emergency room. And so I was like, you have to teach me to drive. Plus, I had... You know, this is like when people were saying goodbye to loved ones on their iPhones, and I had an Android. So I was like, new life, learning to drive, getting an iPhone.
There you go. Ken, how about you? When was the last time you rode the T?
Oh, probably in college.
So you are not a T person.
Last year. Decades ago. No, I've left a lot of myself on the T, I will say. There's a lot of days I'll never get back on that thing. But, you know, I'd ride it now if I had to. Due to a court order or something like that.
So here's what I want to ask the two of you. There are people listening to us right now on the T. They're not finding it funny that you don't have to, right? But I want to have you give them some humor tools for the long road ahead right now on the T.
First of all, I'd find that hard to believe because there's no cell service on the T, which is a problem
there.
Second, and this was...
You could have downloaded.
Yeah, that's true. Second, and this is what got me through so many days on the T, was the story of former WWF wrestler Brutus the Barber Beefcake, who became a ticket taker at the T in the mid-aughts and caused an anthrax scare because he dropped his cocaine all over downtown.
You
Crescent.
Are not making that
this
up.
This is 100% a true story. And that
that's why
really,
you got to really steal your cocaine.
Yeah, yeah. And that really, that's when the T gets fun.
Okay, you just took that a place I did not think we were going in 10 minutes.
I rode the T my whole life. I rode the T to high school in Back Bay. I rode the T to college at UMass. I used to read a lot of like heavy Russian novels like Dostoevsky and Chekhov and those authors because whatever the characters were going through made me feel better about being on the T. So dig into the Russian authors.
So you're saying War and Peace now.
War and Peace. Yeah, you'll feel better. You'll feel better about the T.
And you might have time to read it.
You 100% will have time to read it. You could finish it by, if you get on at Ashmont, you could probably finish it by Alewife.
Yeah.
All right. So where I live, I am seeing a lot of people out running with particularly serious looks on their faces because they are in the final stages of training for the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
I will confess, I hate running with the fire of a thousand suns, but I wanted to ask you guys, are either of you runners, how are you thinking about the marathon this year?
I am not a runner at all, which is why I have a problem with the T, because if the T were efficient, I would Rosie Ruiz my way to the winning spot on the tee.
Which you can't do
which
now.
Which I cannot do now.
No, because you'd get there tomorrow.
Yeah. Rosie Ruiz being the famous...
cheater.
Yes.
She took the tee to win the race.
You I say cheater, but I say...
innovator?
You know, innovator, yeah. Yeah. She's very, like, ingenuity. I was like...
Because there's only one sole spot. Like, it's Heartbreak Hill. The tee has, what, 30, 40? Like, it's easier. Like, you could run the marathon faster than that 26-mile route.
Are you a runner, Bethany?
I am not a runner at all. I love the visual of people running very seriously because I've never seen people running very happily. I think that, you know, there are things surrounding the marathon that make it feel very heavy nowadays.
Yes.
And it leads us to forget the debaucherous spectacle that the marathon can be in places. I used to work in Copley Square, and I remember people just loopy and happy by noontime. And if you worked on one side of Boylston Street, you had to plan your entire day around getting to that one spot where you could cross it in all of Copley Square. You spent your whole lunch break just trying to get
to the
other side.
The street. Yes.
It's like a border crossing.
Yes.
All right, so let's do one more on that because there are a lot of people out running very heavily and seriously, whether they're running for the marathon or not. And I wonder if you can give them a little chuckle to keep in their heads when they are breaking their hearts on whatever that hill is.
I used to have a boss who used to run in the morning with a baseball bat. And the reason was when he moved to the area, he saw his neighbor running with a tennis racket and asked him why. And the guy just told him, you'll find out. And the next day on his run, he was attacked by wild turkeys. So that was why. So just be on the lookout for having to fight wild turkeys because they were almost the national bird of the United States, thanks to Ben Franklin, and are native to Massachusetts. So.
I thought you were going to say be on the lookout for people running with baseball bats. But
well, no, they're your friends.
Yeah.
They're your friends, yeah. Well, you know, if you're running and it's getting hard, just remember you're not riding the tee. I mean, that should just give you joy.
Okay, so now last piece of low-hanging fruit for you, which news that came through last night, and I'm going to give you a couple of different reactions. This is the indictment, and this is, again, serious, but we're having an opportunity to also laugh at ourselves. Former sitting president indicted over a role in document fraud is the accusation. Couple of reactions, one from Fox News, where you can hear kind of a gasp and a from the off-screen host.
Here we have just gotten word former President Donald Trump has been indicted by a grand jury in New York.
And then a different reaction. Like someone in the audience at Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show couldn't hold back last night.
That's right. Trump is the first U.S. president to be indicted.
Yes!
So, I mean, right there, in a nutshell, the collective gasp or yes of the entire country. This is a dangerous moment. Is it too soon to be funny or can you not help but be funny on this?
I just want to say I don't ever want to be accused of correcting you, Tiziana, but he was indicated. Yes. He was indicated.
That's
he was
right.
Not indicated.
That is so. From a social media post from the former president himself. Thank
he
you.
He was indicated.
Indicated.
So. I mean,
indicted.
Normally I am a laugh with person, yeah. Like staunchly laugh with. But there are certain exceptions when a laugh at is warranted, and this is one of them. I think it's a well-deserved laugh at, and I love every single moment of it.
You know, you just brought us two stories where twice already I was like, you cannot be serious, right? This kind of feels like one of those stories. Like, seriously, this actually just happened.
I mean, I'm very happy that it's serious. I would have felt more like it can't be serious if he wasn't indicted and he was just left to, you know, wild out and run again like our native turkeys.
Yes.
So I'm very, I feel like
I didn't this is a turkey comparison.
Well, these people are running from turkeys. That's why they're serious.
I feel like this is normal. This is what should be.
I like that him being like, everyone go and protest in my honor is like one of those, we threw a birthday party for this person and no one showed up. Like it's just a Subway sandwich and one person.
All right. So last question for each of you. Who do you think is going to be funniest on this? Who would you like? I want to go see what they're going to say about this.
About the indictment?
Yeah.
Jon Stewart. Trevor Noah.
Trump himself. I don't think you can write things funnier than the just the litany of nonsense that will spout from
that
his mouth.
So true.
All right. All right. And so on that note about the indication, we will drop the mic. Ken Reed is a Boston comedian and host of the TV Guidance Counselor podcast. Bethany Van Delf is a Boston comedian and a regular host for the Moth Story Slams and Grand Slams. Sometimes we just need to laugh, and you two bring so much joy. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you
for having us.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. We are all so glad you joined us. Tune in again Monday for more Radio Boston.